And if you would this morning, on this Pentecost Sunday, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah 58. I know last week I mentioned in both services that I was going to speak about the Antichrist today and fully intended to do so, but late on Thursday, Lord laid on my heart to talk about the purpose of fasting or what our expectation should be during a fast. And we might have put the cart before the horse in that these last 10 days, I know that I have been, and I'm sure many of you have been as well, we have taken time just to seek God. And I didn't do so much of a food fast, although that's an excellent way to fast, as I did a media fast, where I haven't read any Trump stories over the last 10 days. You know, it seems like our culture is fixated on our current president. May we pray for him, amen, for his soul and for our country. But have taken special time as the 120. It wasn't just 12 disciples, amen. 120 men and women took time to seek the face of the living God prior to the festival of Pentecost. And God poured out his spirit in a very mighty and powerful way. And that's what we've been doing. And may I say, as a pastor, before we actually get into the message of what our expectations should be during a fast, for us to receive, and what we've generally stated as far as what we should be praying for these 10 days is for more of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, more of God's Holy Spirit in the church, more of God's Holy Spirit in our cities, plural, because I know several cities are represented here today. Two things really need to happen in order for that to become a reality. Number one, there has to be much prayer. In my impression of those 10 days prior to Pentecost, there were people who just, they set aside every other thing as far as their life that they possibly could and went to that room and prayed and called out for God to send the promise of the Father, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But number two, that they were in unity. You know, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. And I don't just think they were all in the same room together and they were all named by the name of Christ. They all received Christ personally as their Savior. They were, number one, desiring the same thing. And number two, they were seeking for the same thing. And let me tell you, if we want to see God, forgive the expression, kind of bust out in our church, we all need to want that to happen, number one. And number two, we need to earnestly pray that that would happen. Amen? It can't just be something relegated to the pastor and the leadership, although it's incumbent that we do that as leaders. It's something that we all need to be participating in. A vision to see God move in an unprecedented fashion and to earnestly, with all of our hearts, as one body unified, calling out to God for that to happen. And God, if we seek him, will move. I know in these last 10 days, they've been a blessing to me because not only do I expect God to move in our midst, and you know, this morning, there was a lot of stuff that just kind of went wrong today, you know, which at different times can get under my skin because I like to see everything kind of go smoothly. You know what? That doesn't matter. As long as we have the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, amen? So whether, you know, Henry breaks a string in the middle of worship service or, you know, we lose power or, you know, the wrong words are up on the thing or whatever might happen, it doesn't matter because we're not after so much those things, although certainly we should strive for excellence, but more so we are after, we're pursuing more of God's Holy Spirit within us. But not only do I expect more of the presence of God in our church, I know as we seek God in times of fasting that God is doing a work in me. And so by way of introduction this morning, I'd like to read the book of Isaiah chapter 58, verses 5 through 10, which gives us God's perspective on the purpose of the fast. Scripture reads, verse 5, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday." Let us bow our hearts together and let us pray. Believe God to move by the power of his Holy Spirit of our lives this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of the living God here in this room. May through your word and through your servant, O God, may you speak to our hearts today. May you give us ears to hear, and a heart to receive, understand, and to put into practice. We ask this in your holy name. And everyone said, amen. Essentially, what the Lord is saying here in this passage of Scripture is that a fast, or a time of earnestly seeking the face of the living God, is not just some kind of thing that we just do, that we're supposed to do. There is a purpose behind it. And that purpose is for God to move in our hearts and in our lives and to change us. As we talk about fasting today, and if I have not previously, what was your expectation? Or generally speaking, what were we seeking for both as a church, but I also think as individuals in this season of praying? Well, generally speaking, we're praying for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church, in our community. And I think there's kind of a mental understanding or kind of an idea that we have as far as how God is going to move when we fast and when we pray especially. We should always be seeking the Lord, but these intense times of seeking the face of God day and night for his moving. And these things are things that, such as these, that were experienced in a great measure in the day of Pentecost. Number one, being a greater manifestation of God's presence in our lives, in our church services, amen. Our Bible studies, our men's and ladies' gathering, when we come together, we sense God in a greater way, and a greater anointing upon us. And I'm so thankful for this ministry that Simon's going to start, because it's going to be an encouragement to us to share our faith in a greater way. Greater anointing, more of the presence of God upon us as we share our faith and as we minister the gospel. A greater manifestation of God's power, more of the existence or manifestations of spiritual gifts. And who doesn't want to hear more prophecy? And not just in a church service, but in Bible studies and meetings, even in prayer times with one another. Can God use us in prophecy? Then he surely can and does. Or words of knowledge. Miracles and healing. A greater anointing upon our times of worship, teaching, and preaching the Word of God. People getting saved. People coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and giving their lives to Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? It certainly is. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that. There's nothing wrong with seeking God for that. We should, but we should understand that when we set our hearts individually and as a church, when a church fasts and seeks God, it's everyone seeking the face of God. They were seeking God not only to do those things that we can experience, but we should also expect God to do some internal work in our lives, some work in our hearts. And so this morning, in sharing my heart about the experiences that I receive when I go through a fast, I'd like to talk about two things. Number one, what I find when I fast, what God ends up doing in my life, and secondly, how he goes about doing that. And the first thing, excuse me, you know, you get that certain age, your voice starts to change. I guess 52 is the age for me today. Water. The first thing that I find God doing, in addition, you know, and I might not even necessarily want it, but God does it anyways. How many kind of find that to be in your life as you seek God for one thing and God deals with you another? Is personal cleansing. Amen. We have insight into this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. It's a portion of scripture that we often read in relationship to spiritual warfare. And it does speak about spiritual warfare, but the spiritual warfare of the mind. And not just the mind of the unbeliever, what we talked about this morning, but our own minds. Because if you are someone who is serving God, there is a war that's going on inside of you. Your old nature, according to the book of Galatians, is warring against the new man or woman that God has created in you. And so providing greater insight to this is the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10. Beginning with verse 4, the Bible says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." One dimension of this battle for the mind that is going on, but that God begins to deal with us when we set our hearts to fasting, is not only what God is doing in the world, and what we're praying for is a changed mindset in the world for people to be open to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but also the war that's going in our minds. Because when we become born again, you know, God does this incredible work in our lives, and to truly be born again is to give your life completely to Jesus, and it becomes all about Jesus. But as all of you who have been serving Christ for some time know, or at least should know, your old nature isn't just content to sit by and say, "Oops, there's someone new in town. God has created a spiritual man and woman who's never existed before." That's what new creation, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. And so I might as well give up and run away. No. That does not happen. The old nature seeks to reassert itself as Lord and King of our life. And so we've got to keep that old nature under subjection to the new man or woman that God has called us to be, that God has created. And so when we are fasting, God in my life delivers me from those things that are trying to encroach upon who I am to be in God. The first being this: God delivers me from the distractions that are in my lives. You know, there's two things that take us away from the gaze of Christ, from serving God fully and wholeheartedly as God has called us to serve him. And of course, one is sin, and maybe I should have started with with that. And so let me just get to that. That's the obvious one. And let me tell you, our war with sin doesn't end when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If we say we have not sinned, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And sin, if we don't deal with it, grows in our lives. And let me tell you, the longer you go without addressing the sin that is in your life, the harder it will be to get out from under its influence, to break free from its chains. But let me tell you, if you are bound by sin today, you need to start fasting. Amen? And just get in with Jesus and get away from everything in the world, because I have found during times of fasting, not only has God, and let me tell you, sin's a sneaky little devil. It will sneak into your life without you even being aware of it. God brings, as I'm just putting out everything, God brings those things to my knowledge. Hey, listen, there's some things. What thing? Let me list a few for you. Pride, not specific things, but the root of sin. Anger and bitterness, lust, greed. There are more that I'm sure that these things can come into our lives very subtly, and they can change the course of our lives from a place of serving God, from blessing to a place of cursing, distance from the Lord. But when I fast, the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ illumines. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a pleasant thing to see your own ugliness, but it's a beautiful thing because it's the beginning of deliverance. And not only are we made aware of those things when we're seeking God, the power of the Holy Spirit comes in and breaks every chain, sets us free from every oppression, every struggle in the name of Jesus. But there are other things. Paul says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. There are little things in life that eat up our time and attention, and keep us from being people who focus. And I find when I fast, let me tell you, fasts aren't just to be relegated to one time a year, 10 days before Pentecost. It's something that we should engage in regularly. How often? Between you and God. Little things that eat up our attention. You know these things. You know how I love it. Maybe because it can be an issue in my life. But big things as well. Ambitions that have no inherent evil in them, whether it's a career or some kind of accomplishment in our life, but can replace Christ as our sole focus. When you spend time in prayer and fasting before God, all of a sudden, the direction of the ship of your life is set right. You're able to focus again on the Lord. Secondly, as far as what God does internally in my life, when I pray, when I fast, is he helps me to grow and change. Now, I won't even say believe it or not. I don't have to tell you all that I'm not where I could be or should be in Jesus. I have a long way to go. I'm thankful that I am not where I once was, but I know I need more of Jesus in my life. And it is and this is stuff. And let me tell you, what does God do in our lives when we fast? The same thing that he does every day of our lives as we're serving Jesus, but because we're focusing on him, he does it louder and more persuasively. And it's not because of him, it's more because of us. We're more focused upon him. But I find times of fasting are times of expansion of my Christian character, or becoming more like Jesus. And serving God and knowing Jesus is more about just doing things for Jesus. It's also about becoming more like Jesus, being filled more with primarily these three things. And Paul puts it so simply but so beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, this way: abide in these three things, or now in these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. During times of seeking God, not only is it a time of cleansing and refocusing on Jesus, it's a time of expanding Christian character. Times of expanding our faith. During times of the fast, I learn to trust God more fully or more completely. During the times of a fast, I learn from the inside out how to hope in God more, to look at the future with more optimism, that even though with man it is impossible, with God, what? All things are possible. To learn to love or to accept others, no matter whom they are, no matter what they've done, and to forgive them like Jesus did unconditionally. And thirdly, and this is probably, and all these things can be, anytime God tinkers with our heart, it can be uncomfortable. But this is probably the most difficult of things that happen. And it doesn't happen with every fast, but it happens, can happen and often does happen, is that of spiritual warfare or spiritual break. Think of Jesus. Right? Jesus, of course, is our supreme example. What happened to Jesus immediately, and not only immediately, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit, when after he was baptized in water, and the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit and the anointing came upon him, not that he needed it because he is the Son of God, but living as a man, as our example, he was anointed. What happened to him? The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was what? He was tempted by the devil. When I think of fasting, the last person I think about encountering is the devil. I want more of Jesus, but let me tell you, there have been fasts where all it has been is a knockdown, drag-out fight with the enemy. Things start happening. Stuff happens either in the family or in the church or in some other area in my life which is ugly. The enemy attacks us or attacks me personally or attacks people that I care about or attacks the church. So rather than seeking, for miracles and things, I'm involved in spiritual warfare for deliverance from the hand and the influence of the enemy in my life, in my family, in my church, in my country. There are reasons for this. Because let me tell you, when you seek, and especially when a church begins to seek God, the ugliness, and let me tell you, the most faithful member of the church is not anyone who's here every, and I know you come out at 8 o'clock, you're pretty faithful. And I'm running a little long today, but we had some extra things, and I do not want to rush through this message this morning. Let me tell you, the most faithful member of this church, or faithful person to attend, no, he's not a member. Most faithful person to this church is Satan, demonic forces. They are here, and they have their own ministry. It's not on our website. They're definitely not going to come and share a PowerPoint what they're doing. But they're very, very active, and when the church begins to seek the face of the living God, those ugly things come to the surface. And one reason is because we're praying, and so God, because God does not want unclean things going on in our lives, in our families, in our church. He's bringing them to the surface so that we can deal with them. But number two, when the church starts praying, demons flee, and they don't flee, but they don't want to flee. They want to hold on. And when Jesus confronted, don't send us out in the pig, they would have been happy to stay in that man. So sometimes fasts aren't so much a glorious time of wisdom and insight and refreshing, but rather long, hard-fought battles. But let me tell you, battles, and only can be, will be won if we're faithful to allow God to work. So in closing today, and Henry, if you would lay soft, I'd just like to end with two things. Number one, how God moves in me. And this is just me sharing from my heart personally in these things. And I shared a little bit regarding spiritual warfare, and it's just, and two things happen there. Not only does Satan rear his ugly head, but let me tell you, when you're seeking God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to engage the enemy, through intercessory prayer. And that's the only way to deal with the enemy. Amen? You know, going around and yelling at people, that doesn't work. But calling out to God for deliverance, that works. And let me tell you, dealing with situations, I have found the power of not just love. God's love breaks the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as far as setting souls free from his. But two other ways that God moves during a time of fasting, at least in my life. Number one, strong conviction, strong persuasion, and I mean that in a spiritual sense. Reading John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, but very truly I tell you, Jesus speaking about the ministry of God's Holy Spirit, the way God has manifested himself today, how he's moving today in our lives. It is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. What is that saying? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry of both conviction and persuasion. Let me tell you what happened to me this past week. I had no great design as far as what I was going to read and also what I was going to listen to. And I thank God for the day and age that we live in, where we can go online, but be very careful who you listen to. But here's some really good messages. And seemingly at random, although I'm finding as a believer and rediscovering that nothing's really random in your life if you're following Jesus. I just pick out a speaker who, I just thought I'd like to listen to. He'd probably give a good word. Lo and behold, at least three different speakers that I listened to were all saying the same thing. To me. And it wasn't so much maybe the thrust of their message as it was during some point at that message, they touched on a topic that God wanted to deal with me. And when they hit that point, all of a sudden those words were just shouting at me. And not solely in my ears, but in my heart. And I found that time and time again, when God wants to get something through to me, that word, whether it's in prayer, or in a sermon, or a message, or a conversation, or a discussion, whatever it might be, it comes up over and over and over again. And it probably happens all the time. It's just when you're fasting, you're just more aware of it. Because you're walking more closely with Jesus. But secondly, the way that God moves upon my life, especially when it comes to the aspect of growth, is that of challenging circumstances. Reading James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. To become a person of faith, hope, and love comes through not only reading about it. I'm not taking anything away from the power or necessity of the Word of God. Our lives. The only way our faith or our love or our hope grows is when we are put in situations where we're called to not only exercise it, where those things are, we're required, or at least those things in our lives are required to stretch. Situations that require us to have more faith. Disappointments, which require us to double down in God so that we have more hope and optimism. Hope and faith are very closely associated. Unlovely, ungodly, hurtful people. People that you have to get along with. You know, I remember, not this church, but another church, there was someone who was very upset with me. And not only did they let me know, they let everyone know that they were upset with me and why. And they weren't going anywhere and I wasn't going anywhere. And I couldn't just... My love had to grow where I could still love them as deeply and as passionately as any other believer, as the one who is the kindest, gentlest, most supportive person to me. So in a fast, sometimes those situations happen for our good. So my question is, when you fast, my final point, if you'd stand with me this morning as we prepare to sing our last song. Not only, and I thank God, God does all of those things. When we pray, when we have a week of prayer, I can't wait for Sunday because I know God's going to do something special. Let us also be open because God will do these things to God working person, hearts, and minds. Amen. Amen. Henry, if you'd lead us this morning. This is